desperate to curtail the chaos that was occurring as a direct result of the new freedoms that the people had begun to enjoy with the fall of the Berlin Wall. The Russian Department of Education issued a quiet invitation to two men to come and teach studies in morals and ethics. And not just within the nation's prisons, but also to groups of businessmen, as well as entire fire department and police department personnel, and to children in their orphanages. A subject they were told they could teach from the perspective of their Christian faith. Amazing, right? That they were like John the Baptist in the passage we read from John chapter 14, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, where in verse 7 it says that he went forth as a witness of the light. Our translation says to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of their testimony. Men whose visit to an orphanage just before Christmas shows the impact sharing the gospel can have at this time of year on people. A story told by a man who only identifies himself as Will Fish. Now, that may have been his name, but chances are it was a name he adopted because he didn't want to create any controversy with the mission that he'd been given at the time. But more likely, it was a name he adopted to reflect the mission he felt God had given him. Matthew 4:19, where Jesus said he was calling us to be fishers of men. As Fish says, it was one of the poorer orphanages that they visited, where they had an audience of over 100 boys and girls who'd been abandoned, evidently abused, whose families had left their children in the care of a government-run program. Boys and girls, they discovered, who had never heard the traditional Christmas story of that first Christmas some 2,000 plus years ago. And so Fish says they began to tell the story of Mary and Joseph, of their trip to Bethlehem, how the angel had spoken to them, and how they arrived in Bethlehem. There was no room at the inn, and so they had to find shelter among the animals. And there it was that Mary gave birth to the Christ child, baby Jesus, and they laid him in a manger. A story the men soon realized the members of the staff of that orphanage had never heard before either, as they with the children sat riveted on the edge of their seats, grasping every word. And then to reinforce the lesson, the men had come up with a craft project for the young children, as each was handed three small pieces of cardboard for which they were going to fashion little mangers for themselves. And because they were not able to find any colored paper locally, they had some party napkins with them that they cut up and then gave the children to shred to put into their little mangers as straw. They had some old flannel shirts they cut up, and again, so the kids could cut them in smaller pieces and use them for little baby blankets. And then the one thing they had brought with them from the States was some tan cloth. And they began to show the children how they could fold it over to make it look like a little doll to put under the blanket to represent the Christ child in the little manger. A project the children dove right into, assembling their mangers. So that the two men, Will Fish and his fellow traveler, walked among the children, offering help as needed. And everything went as expected, until Fish says he came to a table with little Misha, a six-year-old boy, who was so proud he had already completed his project, his little manger. But as Fish says, he looked down, he saw not one, but two babies in the manger. And so he was curious. And he called the translator over to ask the little boy, why two babies in the manger? And as he tells the story, he says the little boy folded his arms and he looked down at his completed manger and he began to retell the story of Mary and Joseph, almost verbatim to the way he had heard fish tell it. A remarkable recounting of the story for one so young. And it wasn't until he got to the part where Mary was placing Jesus into the manger when he veered off script, so to speak. And he began to provide his own ending to the story. For as he said at that point, as Mary put Jesus in the manger, Jesus looked at me. And he said, Misha, do you have a place to stay? And I told baby Jesus, I have no mama. I have no papa. I have no place to stay. And so baby Jesus invited me to be with him. But I explained to him that I didn't have a gift like the others had brought, the wise men. And so I began to think, what did I have that I could give to Jesus as a gift? And I finally thought, what if I kept baby Jesus warm? Would that be a good gift? And so I asked Jesus, and he said, Misha, if you kept me warm, that would be the best gift ever. And so I climbed into the manger with Jesus. And he looked at me and he promised, Misha, you can stay with me for always. And you know, in Jesus, that's the promise God has given to each and every one of us. We know because God told Isaiah to tell the world that this child was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us, so that we would know that the Gospels tell how God fulfilled his promise to send the world a baby, a Messiah, a Savior in Jesus, that all who would accept the gift of his Son would have the same promise Misha realized he had, of never being abandoned, of Jesus, of God, being with us for always. Even when that biopsy comes back positive for cancer, Jesus, God, is with us. Even when your dreams of financial security are shattered, when the pink slip comes with a paycheck, Jesus is with us. Even when that marriage partner of 15 years stomps out the door vowing never to return, Jesus is with us. Even when that late night phone call comes announcing the sudden death of a loved one, Jesus is with us. Even when the harmony in the family is shattered by an argument, Jesus is with us. Even when the desire for companionship with another lonely holiday season is coming, Jesus is with us. Regardless of how low, regardless of how disastrous a situation may seem, you're never alone, never abandoned when you have accepted God's gift of his Son. By accepting what Jesus did on the cross as the penalty you admit you deserve for your sin, and you're committing to live the way Jesus did, honoring God and loving others. Do that. Surrender to Christ's loving invitation of Matthew 11, 28, where he said, come to me, all who are weary, carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. The burden I give you is light. And when you've climbed into the manger with Jesus, you know he'll be with you for always. Borrowing from Misha's story, though, there seems to be a lot of people in this world that don't climb into the manger with Jesus. We know there's some who don't because of blindness. Not physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. They just don't see the manger because they're so preoccupied, looking for that comfort and joy that we sing about this time of year in all the wrong places. Some, the oblivion, drinking, drugs. Some, as they jump from one superficial relationship to another, getting bruised and hurting others along the way. Some, we've probably all known, those who are perpetual students who don't seem to ever want to graduate and get into the real world. Some who are just content with getting by, surviving on welfare instead of going out and getting a job, while others still spend hours immersed in social media on Facebook, MySpace, and there's nothing wrong with a social drink. There's nothing wrong with staying in touch with people on the internet. And welfare is a good thing for those who have need. But people can't let such things distract them from being with the one and the only one who give them unconditional love. The one who can promise to be with them for always. The one who will give them unending peace. Enter and spend time in the Lord's presence, and you discover he is a wonderful counselor, as Isaiah 9:6 says, who will give you direction, who will give you guidance in life. You will discover that he is a mighty God who will give you strength for whatever your life situation might be. He'll be there to help you overcome. You'll discover he is an everlasting Father watching over you and meeting your every need. And you find that he is a Prince of Peace, giving you an everlasting peace the world cannot give, a peace the world cannot take away. So the question this morning is, have you been looking in all the wrong places? Comfort and joy, never-ending peace that only Christ can give you. Of course, another problem as to why people don't climb into the manger, it's not just blindness, it's busyness. People so preoccupied with other things going on in life. And this time of year, especially, all the parties, school concerts, Christmas musicals, shopping, the list goes on and on. And if we're honest, we'll admit it's something we're all guilty of at times. Of being driven, preoccupied, not to mention the time that we need to decorate the house, trim the tree, all of those things. And it begs the question about how much time did you spend with the Savior this week? I mean, if Christmas is all about Jesus, if he's the reason for the season, shouldn't he be high on your list of those you need to spend time with? It's amazing, but spending time with Jesus, getting with him in prayer, cures holiday stress. It cures the blues of Christmas too. And of course, the problem others have, which keeps them from climbing into the manger with Jesus, is good old-fashioned doubt. Good old-fashioned doubt. A lot of people find it hard to believe in the manger, hard to believe in Jesus, because Scripture talks about him being a Prince of Peace, but yet they turn on their TV and what do they see? Stories about a crazed dictator threatening to shoot off rockets that will bring an end to the world. Suicide bombers targeting Christmas shoppers. Popular figures, movie stars, politicians, who we've placed our trust in now being revealed as sexual predators that we warn our children about. How can people believe a baby born in a manger can ever bring peace to such a violent world, a twisted world? And yet no single life has ever changed the world more than the child who was born on that starry night, Bethlehem. As Jesus' words, his life challenged people to look beyond this world, to aspire, to be a part of the kingdom of God. And all Jesus did, his healings, the miracles that he performed, the life that he led, along with his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection, they attest to what the Apostle John said about him, the passage read earlier, of how Jesus was both fully God and fully man. And since Jesus is God, he can't lie. It's against his nature to lie. His holiness. And as a result, it means you and I can trust Jesus. When he tells us that there's always room for us to be with him. So when you decide to come to Jesus, he will be with you forever. Throughout your journey in life and ultimately after this earthly life for eternity. To guide you in his everlasting presence where he's promised to wipe away your tears. Where he's promised peace and real justice. While in this earthly life, what he gives us is a challenge. Oh, not a challenge, it's a burden. And Jesus said he was all about lifting our burdens. No, the challenge he gives us is a blessing when we take advantage of it. And what is that challenge? It's to do what Will Fish did. It's to do what John the Baptist did. And that's to be a witness to Jesus' light. That's to witness and recount the story of Jesus to others. To explain why you've climbed into the manger with Jesus. In the week ahead, would you take the time to think about who God might want you to share your experience with Jesus with? A family member? Friend? A neighbor? It's what John the Baptist did when he became a witness to the light so that others can believe through him. It's what you can do. For those who are blind to the manger, who just don't realize what Jesus is all about. Some who are just too busy, haven't taken the time to really think about their need for Jesus. And to some whose questions you can answer to help them overcome their doubt. When you share how that Jesus has made a difference in your life, how he's become Emmanuel, God with you, your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace. The one who's the true light, who gives light to everyone. Let's pray.